Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
After a day of violence in central London, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said racist thuggery has no place on our streets. Demonstrators had gathered outside Parliament in Westminster saying they wanted to protect monuments, including a statue of Britain's wartime leader, Winston Churchill. Several police officers were injured during clashes in which they were kicked, punched and pelted with bottles by protesters. A march by Black Lives Matter activists to Parliament was called off by the organisers. Britain's Interior Minister, Priti Patel, said that anyone attacking the police would be met with the full force of the law.
I have said every single day, as have the police around the country and in London, that these protests, these gatherings are illegal and we have been discouraging them. Secondly, we have seen a small minority behave in extreme thuggery and violent behaviour today. That is simply unacceptable. And the individuals that are basically putting the safety of our police officers and the safety of the public at risk will expect to face the full force of the law.
More than 100 people were arrested for offences including violent disorder and assault on police. Our correspondent Dominic Casciani spent the day in central London.
From mid-morning, hundreds of men, most of whom were already drinking, crowded into Parliament Square. Some were members of football hooligan networks who had put aside their differences for the day. Others were from the far right. Paul Golding, the leader of the Small Britain First group, arrived at Churchill's boarded-up statue wearing a T-shirt that read, "White Lives Matter." One protester said ordinary people were outraged at attempts by anti-racism campaigners to target the wartime leader.
Calling for Winston Churchill's statue to be pulled down. Come on. I mean, he had some racist views, but at the end of the day, he led us through our darkest hour.
But despite claims that the day was about defending British heritage, it soon became violent. Groups looked for opportunities to attack the police. Bottles and cans were thrown at their lines and horses. Smoke bombs and fireworks set off. One bare-chested man kicked a police officer to the ground, and there were repeated attempts by others to storm barriers as the police contained the trouble. A Black Lives Matter demonstration held nearby wrapped up early, but a small number of anti-racism protesters repeatedly came close to Parliament Square, adding to the tension. By late afternoon, the crowd thinned. One man was photographed urinating next to the memorial for PC Keith Palmer, killed in the 2017 Westminster attack. Tobias Aylward MP, who had tried in vain to save the officer's life, said on Twitter, "Of all the images to emerge over these few testing days, I find this one of the most abhorrent."
That report by Dominic Casciani. To France now. The sound from protests in Paris, also against racism and alleged police brutality. On Saturday, thousands gathered in the French capital where the police fired tear gas after some demonstrators pelted them with missiles. I heard more from David Chazan in Paris.
Police say some 15,000 people gathered here, and thousands of demonstrators also rallied in other French cities. In Paris, riot police with shields and helmets prevented the protesters from marching from République to Place de l'Opéra, but they did allow them to gather in République Square. Now, a few protesters threw fireworks at police, who responded with tear gas, but the rally was largely peaceful. And police say that there are only a minority of troublemakers among the demonstrators.
Peaceful, but passions are running very high, not least because many in France are comparing the death of George Floyd in America to that of another black man in France.
Yes, many of the protesters drew parallels between George Floyd's death and a similar case in France, the death in police custody of Adama Traoré, a young black man. The Traoré case has become emblematic of the fight against racism here, and what the protesters say is police brutality against minorities in France. Adama Traoré's sister, Assa, spoke at the rally in Paris, demanding that the police officers who were allegedly involved in his death face charges. Instead, they've been cleared by an official medical report, and Assa Traoré said the protests weren't just about minorities, they were an attempt to ensure that France delivers justice for all of its citizens.
Because this is a widespread complaint, because these rallies come as France's police watchdog revealed that it had received many, many complaints against officers last year.
Yeah, that's right. Some 1,500 complaints last year, about half of them for alleged violence. And many people in poor suburbs with large minority communities have complained about heavy-handed policing during the coronavirus lockdown, when it was difficult for human rights groups to independently monitor what was going on in those areas. Complaints of racism in the police and more generally in French society are a big problem here, but the police also feel aggrieved, and they've held demonstrations themselves this week. They say enforcing the law is a tough job and they shouldn't be stigmatized and lumped together as racists, and although they sometimes make mistakes, they try to enforce the law fairly.
David Chazan.
Background noise. Background noise. For the folks who are listening in, if you could mute your line so we don't have all the unnecessary background noise, that would be grand. Much obliged. Much obliged. Then you can unmute when you're ready to talk. That way we won't have a lot of unnecessary distortion. Wowee. Did you all catch that? Pay attention to words, man. Worldwide, pay attention to words. I wouldn't care what language they were speaking. French, English, Portuguese, Spanish, whatever. Pay attention to what words are being used. You hear that? Hey, we are the enforcement officials here in France. Vive la revolution, right? We feel like we're being, you know, aggrieved against. You know, they're just lumping us all together and saying that we're all racist. Egalite, right? This is France. We don't even calculate race and all that. Everybody's equal here, right? And then they said, we make an effort to enforce the law fairly. I'm sure you do. Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, I think it is the actual solstice today, June 21, 2020. So I have been told, ominous beginning to the summer of 2020. I guess they all are in the system of racism. This is our global Sunday talk on racism. I feel like all year I've kind of been saying, wow, really exciting time to be able to check in with non-white people in different parts of the world, because so much has been happening. And I feel like every time it's like, wow, can you believe what has taken place in the last 30 days since we checked in with everyone last? So just eager to get updates from all. You should take advantage for folks who are listening in. It's not just for people who are outside the States. If you have questions, comments, the first kind of portion of the program, we'll chat it up with our folks around the globe, and then we'll bring in folks if you have questions, comments that you would like to ask. Take advantage to get an opportunity to speak with people who are in Norway, Austria, London, wherever, and to see, you know, what is happening. Have you been out in the streets protesting? Do you think it's constructive? Which statues did they pull down? Like, amazing time. Is the Rona still happening? Amazing time on the planet right now. And hopefully we can get some constructive information to help grasp what is happening. Number again is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Give out the number again as we proceed. We will be here tomorrow. Dr. Martin Kevorkian will be on the broadcast, admitted white supremacist. He's been with us many times on the program before. We will be discussing four films, The Hate U Give, getting a lot of publicity right now, highly recommended to help understand what's happening, the book and film, Terminator Dark Fate, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, which is amazing because that is a film that is almost 40 years old, and it has been mentioned in the news daily for about the past month or so. And the last is Black Mirror, Season 5, Striking Vipers. Just that one episode. We'll be discussing those tomorrow and what they have to do with all the racism and chaos that is happening on the planet right now. Before we get to matters, one thing I did want to share, sadly. June Allen, she's been with us many times, juneallen.net, over in the UK. Always appreciate having our international listeners and participants join us. And like for years, you can go back in the archives and hear. In fact, she even had me as a guest on her podcast. But she reported that she would not be able to join us this week because she had a death in the family. And so certainly our thoughts, well wishes, condolences out to she and her family. Lots of losses this year. I didn't get, you know, any details or what have you about what happened, but just our thoughts, condolences to June Allen. You can visit her website, juneallen.net, juneallen.net, if you want to drop a word of encouragement. I know folks have appreciated her commentary all around the world when she's come on the program, so I know she's having a tough time right now. Juneallen.net. Thoughts, condolences with she and her family. Context of white supremacy. Share the link. Let folks know that we are on since this is our irregular time. We'll only be here for about 90 minutes, so not the full program that we would normally do. So we'll have to be efficient with the time that we have. With that, let's get to some of our folks who are with us. Let's see. Do we have Andrew in the UK? Are you with us, sir? I'm going to have to double check, make sure that I got him. I thought I had him on the line. I will double check. Let's see. While I am double checking to make sure that we get Andrew with us, African 1884, Austria, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. Can I be heard?
Crystal clear. So good to have you with us, sir. Back with us, joining us live from Austria for listeners. He was with us, I know, definitely in March. We weren't able to have the program in April, but definitely with us in March, and I think we might have missed him in May. So it would be good to have him back and get an update on, you know, where things are with the virus and the protest. I haven't really seen the news as much to see if they've been protesting in Austria, so we'll get lots of good updates. Let's see. Do we have our caller in Norway as well? Make sure I get the handle correctly.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Spectacular. And what was your handle again, sir? Make sure I get it correct.
Kamal,
absolutely. So glad to have you with us, joining us live from Norway. He was just with us for Neutralizing Workplace Racism and had lots to share, going over some of the things that were happening in his workplace and addressing even the Rona situation and trying to give out stipends to some of the international students and how they didn't want to do that in Norway, didn't want to help out the black students. I will work on getting Andrew on the line with us as well. Let's see. Let's start with, let's go to Jude because it's actually been the longest since we've heard from him. He's joining us from Norway, Austria, joining us from Austria. I guess give us the update first on the virus situation there, just your work situation, because I know you had talked about that before and the disruption that it caused. Like, give us an update on what's happening with COVID-19, and then we can get to the protests and all that as well. Let's see. African 1884. Are you there, sir? Uh-oh. Hope we didn't lose him. Are you there, sir? No, we heard. I just heard him a couple seconds ago.
I forgot to unmute myself.
Oh, okay. Good.
Sorry. Okay. Can I be heard?
We're back to crystal clear. Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, regarding COVID-19, the measures right now have been, they had all these restrictive measures that have been pulled back, rolled back. So people are slowly going back to the new normal way of life. In regard to work, we have to wear face masks all the time in the office, especially in situations where we have shared offices. And for the most part, if you leave your office and you walk around the corridor, you have to have your mask on. Number of cases have drastically reduced. They're not reporting any cases anymore in Austria. And if they are, they'll be slight, just maybe one or two cases. So regarding the COVID-19, Austria did a lot to reduce the curve, because it was very high. The last 3 months was very high, but now it has really, really gone down and everything. So like I said, folks are going back to the normal new way of life. Sports centers are not yet open, but cinemas are open, malls are open, pharmacies are open. You know, everything is just slowly, slowly going back to normal. But still, they're at the same time trying to see if they can continue with the contact tracing, just in case anyone is infected or is in contact with someone that's infected. So there have been measures. I think some folks, I'm sure in the U.S., because I spoke to family in Africa too, where almost all of us, our mobile phones now have got an app that can be able to track COVID-19 infections. And that was not communicated even here in Austria to us, that our phones are going to have this app installed in it. So that's more or less the latest in Austria.
Wow, I think that is the first time that we talked to people in Brazil, Japan, China, all over. I think that's the first time that we've talked to some folks who said, oh yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job of getting this under control. And I take that back. China, our caller in China, he did, after the quarantine and everything, he did say that they had kind of gotten back to normal. People were still wearing masks. But so I guess I'd take that back. We have talked to one other person, but that has been kind of rare. Where it's kind of back to normal and we did a pretty good job, can kind of give ourselves a humble pat on the back for how well things have gone. So are you still wearing a mask when you go out in public and all that?
Only when I'm using the public transport or if I'm going into pharmacies and hospitals. Otherwise, if you're going into the mall, you don't need to wear a mask. If you're just walking just on the streets, you don't need to wear a mask.
Wow. Very impressive. What do you think has been the difference in terms of what you all have done in Austria as opposed to many other spots that are still struggling?
I think in Austria, for the most part, what they did is that initially, right from the very beginning, when they enforced these measures, having everyone to stay at home and reduce any contact with families, a lot of people went along with that. In Austria, it's, I would say that folks here are very, very disciplined and they tend to really, really abide to what the state says. So I think one of the things that when they said, okay, folks need to stay home, folks really did stay home for the 2 months. Folks really did stay home. You know, so the streets were empty, you know, not much was going on. The buses and the trains were empty, you know, but they were operating, but they were still empty, you know, you just have only maybe one or two people in the bus or a train or something like that, you know. So people really took those measures seriously in terms of, you know, social distancing and staying at home. So I think that really made a big difference.
Wow. Now, contrast that with the United States. I don't know if you all have been, you know, seeing all that, but I mean, from the very, as soon as it got serious here in about March, and having white people out in the street with guns, you're not going to tell me to stay at home. You're not going to tell me to close my business. This is, you know, like a concentration camp and all the rest of it with their guns out in the street. This is March. So we've had months of people out in the street with marks for various reasons. Contrast that with discipline, stay at home, not going out, not protesting, not saying the Rona is fake. Have you all had a contingent of folks saying that the Rona is fake? Has there been a significant number of Austrian people out saying, you know, we think this is a bunch of hooey and you got us stuck at home for no reason?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Sounds like a totally different world, man. So with the protests, since you all got the Rona under wraps, have you all had any protests with the racism recently?
Yes, we did. We had, this was about, I think a week or 2 weeks ago, there were two Black Lives Matter demonstrations. One was more or less organized by the state. There's a political party here that kind of like organized one Black Lives Matter demonstration. In the turnout was about 50,000 people. It was in the media, and a lot of white folks were very happy. Some Black folks, too, who don't really understand the context of racism and supremacy, you know, they were out celebrating and everything, and they see that a lot of white people are, you know, more or less listening to our voices now and willing to walk out into the streets and say something in regard to our lives. And then the second demonstration was just more or less grassroots organized by Black folks and a few white folks too. Like I said, here it's a predominant white space. It's very hard to do anything here without involving white folks. It's more or less impossible. So in total, both of the demonstrations had a turnout of about, let's say, 60,000. And like I said, most of the folks, Black folks, are very, very happy. They feel that we're really making a step into trying to solve systemic racism and white supremacy.
Oh, hang on one second. Background noise? Background noise? I'm not sure. Oh, okay. There we go. Yes, please make sure you use your mute button so we don't have the background noise. Very sorry about that, African 1884. If you can pick up, we had the very happy Black people that white people were coming out to speak up for them.
Yes, exactly. So people feel like we're making strides and everything, that for once in history, white people, specifically also in Austria and around the world, white people are listening to our plight and they're willing to go out onto the street and speak about what's happening to us. We can't breathe and all that. So Black folks are really, really happy. The thing is that what I noticed is that, because I went to one of the demonstrations, and I noticed that it's the whole statement or movement, Black Lives Matter, it has now taken on a different form. For example, in Austria, you have the LGBT community also being part of that. You have a lot of white females also being part of that. So there's no clear definition in regard to what Black Lives Matter means, you know. So it because in newspaper it's written that, okay, people went out in the streets to demonstrate for fundamental human rights, you know. So that kind of like leads one to believe that, okay, you know what, all of us are part of this and we're one family and we need to go out to the streets and demonstrate. So if I speak about Black Lives Matter here in Austria, for the most part, folks are like, okay, yeah, it's also lesbian lives matter, homosexual lives matter, white women's lives matter too, you know. So there's a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of that. But like I say, just to summarize all that, a lot of Black folks, I mean, they're very happy and they're already sitting down trying to get together and see what they can do as a next step and what demands they want to put forward for the state. Because there's also, there have been cases of police violence in, or race violence in Austria that have been documented. The police have not been arrested. So some of the Black people here got together and they want to put some demands to the Austrian nation state regarding police reform and take into consideration what they call institutionalized racism within the police force.
Wow. That right there, we haven't even got to everybody else yet, but that right there, that is why we have Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Share it on social media. Let people know we're on. We have about an hour or so. Dial in if they have questions. Now, you see, some things are very much the same. Black trans lives matter. LGBTQI lives matter. White women's lives matter. Police lives matter. They probably got blue lives matter over there, too. Turtles lives, and they just go on. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought we came out here to talk about white supremacy racism. Now we added about 50 other things. Conflation. They are masters. They employ that worldwide, apparently, because we got that over here. You can go out to the demonstrations and you'll see the gay pride signs and all the rest of it. And the
Sorry, could I add something?
Yes, sir.
Because one of the organizers of the demonstration reached out to me and they asked me if I could be willing to make a speech or say something regarding the situation of black people in Austria and also globally. And I immediately asked them, okay, what are we talking about exactly here? Because I realized that the organizers did not have any framework or did not sit down to understand, okay, we're going there and we're going to be addressing white folks. What are we going to talk about? You know, what is it really that we're talking about? So I asked them, okay, so you have other people going to be speaking. Okay, what are they going to be speaking about? Then one of them responded and told me, no, we'll just go there and just speak about whatever we want, you know. And I'm like, no, I can't do that, you know. I can't just go in front of white folks, like 20,000, 50,000 white folks, and just speak about whatever I want, you know. We need to be specific. We need to be coded. We need to know what we're talking about. And I kind of like refused to take up the request, and I told them, you know, I'll just sit on the sidelines and just watch what they're doing, but I'd rather not participate in something like that where there's no clear framework, agenda, and a codified approach to how we're going to do this.
Asking questions. I love it. And that we've had or at least heard a lot of that stateside, where they will organize these type of events. They don't have a definition of racism. No shot. I mean, you can start right there. Once you don't have a definition of racism, all the organization and focus is out the window. I mean, what are we doing? Is this just get up and talk? That's how you end up. I want to just take the next 5 minutes to talk about Trans Lives Matter. White women, I mean, anything. Now we're off. I want to talk about climate change, and I think Greta Thunberg has done a lot. I mean, what are we talking about? Were we talking about white supremacy, racism, or is this just anything goes, kind of, you know, whatever you feel like discussing for the day type rally? And I said that before, they had all those lockdowns over there in, what you call it, in Austria. I had said here, and I think some other folks, in fact, let me see if I can get Andrew on the line one more time, because I missed him. Let's see. And then we'll make sure we include everyone. Did we get him this time? Maybe not. Oh, did we get
him?
Yes. Outstanding. Awesome to have you with us, good sir. Andrew is joining us live from London. So awesome to have him here as well. Before we finish up with African 1884, I think that's so important, because you see some of the same strategies in terms of how they infiltrate. I reposted the broadcast that we did about the March on Washington, talking about how white people came and they infiltrated it. And they'll just take them and they do the same type of thing. They bring in all these other agendas and other things that they want to talk about, and they just totally dilute the focus. Or sometimes there's no focus at all. We don't have a definition for racism. We don't have a framework for what we're coming here to talk about. We don't have demands and things, or requests at least, an itinerary for what we're trying to get accomplished. Is this just come out and yell? And what I was saying was, here in the States, they had that quarantine, so a lot of people have been stuck in the house. I said, man, it's like recess. Like, oh, we can come out and run around in the street and maybe grab a brick or two and throw something. Like, oh, this is great. I've been cooped up all that time. A wonderful little release for me to get to come out and do some yelling. This is better than, you know, being able to go to the gym is closed. So, hey, this might as well be out here yelling. Let's see. We'll try and check in with everybody, and then we'll open it up, see if listeners have any calls and such. So good to hear from you, Andrew. Glad to have you on the line, sir.
Apologies that I'm late. I just had to do something with my little boy. That's all.
Oh, man, parenting is hard. No apologies. Parenting is... I don't have children. Parenting is hard. Let's see. We'll give you a moment to settle. Let's nab Kamau joining us in Norway. Got to be good keeping all my so-called countries together. Kamau in Norway. Again, he was just with us for workplace racism. Let's see. We'll do it in the same order. So where are you all at now with the Rona? And then we'll get to the protests over there.
So Norway has, can you hear me?
Crystal clear, sir.
So Nori has opened, has relaxed the restrictions. We've gone from 2 meters social distancing to 1 meter social distancing. We've been informed that the universities will be open for next semester, but they will prioritize the first-year students that should have access to the campus. There will be no international students coming in. They're assuming that there will be a digital semester for international students. Of course, this reduction in internationalization corresponds with this sneaking attempt to introduce tuition fees for international students that I suspect can be happening. But Norway has opened its borders with Denmark and Finland. They've closed it to Sweden because, you know, that Sweden had a different approach to not have a lockdown and to have a different approach. So at the moment, there's no borders that are open between Sweden and the rest of the Scandinavian countries. A few weeks ago, the African Student Union and another African organization in Norway made a demonstration to coincide with the others protesting George Floyd's death around the world. 15,000 showed up. And one of the hardcore results afterwards that we saw was that the organization delivered a demand to the Ministry of Justice, which is a demand which has existed for some years now, that whenever the police stop people to check their identification, that these persons can also get a receipt. Because in the past, there hasn't been any receipt that has been given to people. So that is what one of the hard results I can say that I have seen, that they have managed to give a demand, I assume with some signatures. Also, just before this lecture, one of the persons that are like a reference or support for the organizers, someone who's been working against racism for 27 years now, he was just giving a racism 101 lecture on Zoom. Victim guaranteed qualification, you know, sent him a message of support, and he was like, okay, but I'm not talking about Dr. Wilson. But it's like, hey, don't worry about it here. We've got this victim qualified guarantee that you don't criticize one another. That's a part of the code that I'm using. In the actual presentation, can I move on to that? I'd like to make some references to what we talked about how racism is in Norway. Can I speak about that?
Oh, let's hear it.
Cool. All right. So this speaker, a friend here, he has a multiracial background. And so he's speaking about his experiences and so on. And he said, he mentioned a question that he has gotten since he's been growing up, or his family has gotten, like, which parent is black? Which of your parents is black? The follow-up question to that, are they still together? Assuming that they would have broken apart. And then the third question is some humor, attempt at humor, saying that there should be no complaints with sex for you because you've got African genes. So those are some of the tacky statements. And of course, where are you really from? They are saying that these persons who are not white are not Norwegian by that question. There's a term in Norway that's used called hverdagsrasisme, which means everyday racism. And that is what white people here talk about when they say, yes, there's racism, it's hverdagsrasisme. It's like small little comments and things that probably would be called microaggressions. Immediately today, I interpreted that as this is a code that white people in Norway have developed to remind each other everyday racism. It's a code that they've developed to remind each other to practice a little bit of racism every day. Of course, there are private Facebook groups and so on that Norwegians have where they're sharing jokes back and forth that they think are harmless. In that presentation, you talked about microaggressions, and you also came across the concept of this violence that's always associated with acts of racism. He defined racism as going both from white to black and black to white. And I interpreted microaggressions to be violence or threat of violence at whatever degree. Well, what was interesting near the end of before I had to leave to join this broadcast was that he very cleverly said, okay, white people, tell me about when you've experienced racism from black people. What are some of the things that you experience? And, you know, they got like isolation or fear of violence or being put down. And then that was on the slide. And then the list that the black people who experienced racism from white people had, all of those things, but also things related to finances, housing, getting a job, not getting access to services, depression, parents being abused, things like that. So it was a very interesting way to react when white people say that they have racism too, because he showed what a white person individually receives or what a white person perceives that they receive as a result of racism, and compared it to what a black person perceives that they receive as a result of racism. And the list is enormously different. And then he had another set of questions where you talk about what do whites receive collectively from blacks when the blacks practice racism against them, and what do blacks receive collectively from whites when racism is practiced against them. So I thought that was a really a tool to help people who could be confused to have some more clarification. His definition, I'll just end on that, his definition that he presented, I really asked him to come with that. And he, in his presentation, he said it's very important to have one, because in all of the discussions that exist, nobody really comes with one. And he's definition of racism was prejudice plus power plus the willingness to abuse the power in a global system. So the addition of that global system in his equation would, I suppose, make it clear that it's very difficult for non-whites to practice racism if they don't have the support of a global system. Do you have any questions to anything I've said so far? And that's all I have to say.
Wowee. Context of white supremacy. The background noise, I'm not sure. You could use your mute button if you are not speaking, just to make sure we don't have unnecessary background noise. Much obliged. Wow. Global system of white supremacy, racism, definitions anywhere in the world. Definitions. Now, if somebody comes out and they're talking about white supremacy racism, ostensibly, and they say, oh, yeah, racism can go both ways, I already know. Don't understand racism, white supremacy, what it is, how it works. Everything else will confuse you. Even matter of fact, pause right there for a second. Just when he was talking about the Rona and they said Scandinavia, they're not allowing those folks in because of their method on handling it. At least from my looking at Scandinavia, it's not that they don't think the Rona exists. It's that their strategy for dealing with all of this has been the so-called herd immunity. We're not going to lock down. We're not going to do, you know, all these restrictions and stuff. You know, we think people will be smart. So they haven't really done anything in terms of imposing measures and things like that. Now, they still don't. I mean, they are not number one in the world like we are. They are not number two like we are. So it has not been. I'm sorry?
It, Yeah, Scandinavia means Denmark, Finland, Norway, Sweden. And so, and it is only Sweden, the country of Sweden, that is being excluded from these four Scandinavian countries of the border opening. So,
thank you for the correction. I messed up. Thank you. Sweden. Is that accurate, though? They're not doing the lockdowns and what have you. It's not that they don't think the Rona exists. They're just not doing all the lockdowns and all that other stuff, and they're trusting that people will be, you know, somewhat responsible with their conduct. Is that it, basically?
That's correct.
Okay. Be accurate. Say that all the time. Strive for accuracy. Strive for accuracy. So, yes, this is not some wacky location where they don't think the Rona exists. And I do think that that's significant. Like, for, I think he said all the rest of the countries in that area have said, hey, no Swedes, got to get out of here. You cannot come hang out. We do not agree with the way you've chosen to respond to this situation. So do you know how long that's going to be in place, that they're not allowing those folks to come in?
My friend who's living in Sweden from Cameroon, he says that from what he's heard, that they're going to talk about it on Tuesday and probably make a new announcement. So we'll hear on Tuesday whether they'll be friends with Sweden again.
Okay. Fascinating on that front. Okay. Now back to the protest, or... Yeah, I guess he said he had the protest. And I guess that shouldn't be lost either. When we heard from African 1884 and now Kamau in Norway, I mean, they said like tens of thousands of people have been like out in the streets and protesting on all the rest. Like, wow, that is a lot of fun. And that is a lot of white people out in the streets. Like, that alone would be enough to give me pause. Like, ooh, I don't know if I need to be that involved in all this. Now, he said in Norway, at least they had some sort of, you know, list, like, we want a ticket, when a receipt, when you, you know, stop and harass black people and, you know, who are you? What are you doing around here? Where's your identification and all that stuff? You know, you should have a ticket. You should have a receipt that this happened. That way you have some sort of evidence about this, you know, this incident took place and who the person that stopped you, I guess maybe that information might be on the receipt and all that. I don't know. They, that seems kind of, was that the only request that they had, that you get a ticket if you get stopped and harassed? Was there anything else?
I'm surprised they had any at all. My understanding was that they wasn't, what they did was they protested the killing of George Floyd, and the main direction of the protest was the U.S. Embassy. Mm-hmm. Now, no more than 50 people could be there. So then they had a second event where they would have 750 people holding 2 meters away from each other, making a circle. But over thousands of people had signed up for the event, so they said that they would just go into the city center and protest at the Norwegian parliament. So they did that, and they had speakers at the Norwegian parliament doing pretty much what the guy from Austria said, saying stuff about things are bad. And of course, some of the posters and so on referred the killing into about 10 years ago of an African immigrant at a welfare office by the police. Mm-hmm. That's the last time a police person killed anyone in Norway. So while there's this, I see this meme going around about it's the last, you know, police don't kill anybody and they have 4 years of training in Norway. They have to take a bachelor degree to get to become a policeman, and they haven't killed anyone for over 10 years. But the last person they killed was an African immigrant. And the policeman who killed that person was also implicated in some other person's death before then.
Repeat offenders. Sounds so familiar. Wow. Well, I guess in some respects it sounds familiar. The only people that get killed by police are black people somehow, some way. But all the training, and you have to have all these sophisticated degrees and 4 years of training. Wow. Like, that's the sort of policing that I would expect in a very homogenous, super white country. That's what I would expect. We don't have that sort of thing here. Here it's, you know, get out and practice my chokehold. See how you get the knee on them. I'm glad we were able to pull you out of the seminar. Maybe if it wasn't constructive, it's all about constructive use of time and energy. So if they're talking about, or I guess at least to put up the global system, that'll be my last thing, and then we'll get Andrew. When they gave the definition and added the global system component, and that changed, even though I think, you know, why waste time, like, even entertaining the notion that racism is being practiced against white people, unless that's going to be implicated as another act of racism. Like, white people know goodness well that they are not victims of racism, just like they know that they're not ignorant. But
the lecturer has said that he had a multiracial background. He had
does that mean a white parent?
He had yeah.
Oh, okay.
A white grandparent. Definitely, or possibly a white parent or a mixed parent. And he has family from Texas, from the Caribbean, and from Norway. So, and I did feel in the lecture, like, I kept wondering, who is this lecture targeted towards? Because it seemed to be indicating to white people how what things they do and how they speak to us that are racist. And it didn't seem to be, I would have structured a talk on racism much more differently. I would not care about informing Norwegians or white people about what they are doing that is harming us. I'd be more concerned about giving some really precise definitions and very useful techniques for being able to handle racism, which I know this lecturer can do and has done. But I suspect that, you know, he has good, I'm sure he has good reasons for doing it the way he did. But I know that he's one of the foremost people in Norway who has, he's a young, I don't know if you can say young, but he's one of the people who have been helping a lot of African young people in Norway with their identity, with their some self-respect. And with fighting against, for example, a year ago, the government tried to remove a racism paragraph from the Norwegian law, you know, about making it punishable to discriminate by race. They tried to remove that a year ago this time. So people associated with him were writing against that.
Okay.
But yeah, his definition is a little bit... it could use some work, but I mean, it's got power, it's got system in there, and it's got abuse. So, therefore, I mean, I thought it was a good start. Thank you.
Always appreciate a good start. Definitions, always a great start, because they can be improved, and, you know, hey, you think of a better one, you can change it. So definition is a great place to start to make sure you at least have a solid foundation for what you are attempting to discuss, especially if you're going to talk about racism. Let's get in Andrew joining us from the United Kingdom. I think London specifically. He can let us know. Are you there, Andrew?
Yes. Can you hear me, Gus?
Yes, sir. We can hear you good and clear. So good to hear you again. Now, Andrew was with us last month in May. I don't think they were protesting at that time when we spoke to him. We were just on the Rona situation and trying to figure out what's best there and, you know, do you send your children back to school and all that. We're here. June 21, summer is kicking off. I guess we'll start with the Rona situation. Where is that at? Schooling with your children? And then we can get to the protests.
Schooling. I mean, that's an interesting one. The government, really good to be on, by the way. You know, I mean, as you know, loads has been happening. So the government, you know, Boris Johnson's government has been trying to get schools to open up again, but the teaching union, you know, it's called the NUT, National Union of Teachers. Is actually a very strong union, similar to the train drivers union, very, very, very strong union. So Boris Johnson has had no luck forcing schools to go back. What has happened, or what's been happening, is that children of what we call key workers, so children of doctors, nurses, teachers, have had a school place, and vulnerable kids have had a school place. But getting the mass of kids back into school, the government has not managed it. What head teachers have tried to do is accommodate children that have got exams next year. So in this country, we call it year 10, who have got exams in year 11, and year 12, which is A level, which is your, I think that's like your high school, which is, you know, those kids have got what we call A levels next year. So those 2 year groups have been, you know, have gone back kind of after a fashion, but the truth is their parents don't want them to go in. So in my school, most of the parents do not want their kids in, because obviously if you live with your extended elderly family, then obviously the kids might go out and bring corona back into the house. So it's just not working. So we've got three or four more weeks left in school, and then we've got the 6 week summer holidays, and then we'll see what happens in September. But, you know, maybe the kids will go back in September, but that's not going to happen en masse. You know, I think what will happen is that you'll have some sort of reduced entry back into school. God knows what that's going to look like, but you know, but that's where things are. I mean, obviously, Boris, you know, in a capitalist country like the States and like most of Europe, or Western Europe and like the UK, you're going to get governments trying to force schools open, because that's the only way you can get shops and businesses back up and running. So that's where things are, you know, business before life. And, that's basically where things are, you know.
That is, I haven't really heard that, like, massive opposition from, like, teachers and parents about the school situations. And, you know, you're not going to force us into an unsafe situation. I haven't really heard. It's just been a lot of confusion about whether or not there will be school, and if so, how it's going to work and all that. And, wow.
This government... What happened? This government sat down with the unions, right? They didn't, and we as teachers, we all got a letter, and my memory is that it had. I knew the union wouldn't let it happen anyway. Right? It's just not going to happen, right? For very obvious reasons. You know, these old Victorian buildings are just not built for it. You know, social distancing in what, where, how's that? It's just not going to happen. So, you know, I got a letter a few months ago, and the union had about 5 weeks ago, the union had 5 points that it wanted the government to satisfy, and it's impossible. So social distancing, one point. You know, the other point was, how can you guarantee that members of staff are going to be safe? Well, that's impossible, right? And if those, so that means a third of your staff are going to be at home shielding, right? Can you open up a school successfully if a third of your staff are not there, right? Well, the answer is no. It's as simple as that. Do you know what I mean? So that means, so what happens to the kids that are not in school? Well, they're not in school. They're out of school, right? So that's the very basic lay of the land. Do you know what I mean? You know, the union is not going to force. It's not going to allow staff that are shielding to go in. That's just not going to happen. And so, therefore, a head teacher will take a view: can we open up successfully? The answer is no. Do you know what I mean? So, regardless of what Boris Johnson wants, right, it's irrelevant what he wants. Do you know what I mean? You know, the union, thank God, is strong enough to basically say no. And there's nothing the government can do. And, you know, and besides that, boroughs in the UK pretty much run their own affairs anyway, similar to states in America. And so it was never going to happen. We all knew it wasn't going to happen. But what has been happening is that you've had partial opening. So I've been going into schools, into my school, to teach vulnerable kids and kids of key workers, of which, so last week I had four kids. So we had Holy for staff, 4 kids. You know, so, you know, you've got to ask the question, what is the point? There's no point. The kids don't want to do any work for obvious reasons. You know, they're anxious. The staff don't want to be there, really. right? Because obviously we've got our own families to deal with. I mean, I've not seen my mum for about 3 months.
Wow.
You know, I'm going around, you know, so, I mean, because I can't really, you know, my mum's 77, right? So as long as I'm going in and messing around with these little kids, I can't really be around my mum. Do you know what I mean? Or we can sit in the garden, you know, she can sit, she can, because she's actually staying at my brother's house at the moment, and my brother's retired, him and his wife, you know, but I mean, you know, I can't really be going in the house that much for obvious reasons, do you know what I mean? You know, so that's, you know, that's where it is. I mean, my mum was very ill 3 months ago. I might have mentioned it on the last show, so... You know, and, you know, at that time there was no testing. So we don't know if it was corona or to do with a stroke medication. God knows what it was. I actually think it was corona, you know. But the ambulance guy, when the ambulance service came around, because we called, my brother called the ambulance because we were thinking of taking her in. And then the ambulance guy took him aside and said, you know, to be quite honest, I wouldn't take him in. Because if we take him in, because she has corona-like symptoms, they would have to put her straight on the corona ward, and that means she's dead, right? Mm. So I mean, nah, I'm not going to do that. And as you know, it affects African Caribbean people, black people in white countries more so than anybody else. Incidentally, back home in Africa, right, or in the Caribbean, right, the numbers are small. It only affects us when we're in white countries, you know, and this is the big deal. If you watch CNN, they're continually going on about how it's about to hit in Africa. It's about to hit. They can't cope with it. But the question is, how come it's not, you know, I mean, obviously it's there, but how come it's not there in big numbers yet? You know, you've got to ask that question, you know, and it might well get a hell of a lot worse. But we haven't seen that yet. Do you know what I mean? So, thank God. And when you look at Jamaica, when you look at the Caribbean, the numbers in Jamaica are tiny. So you've got to ask that question as well. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Florida, you know, as soon as you go to the mainland, the numbers skyrocket. You know, so, you know, you know, so there's something about living in a white country. You know, Rastafari used to say, I'm not good for living in a white country too long. Right. You know, and you know, there's something to that, really, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of where we are, you know, with the corona situation, from what I can see. You know, I mean, and you know, I mean, you probably well know that there's a lot of racism around this as well, with black people being put on the front line of service provision. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of black people in frontline nursing. There's a lot of black people in frontline working for local government. There's a lot of frontline black people working in bus services and trains and this kind of thing. So we are on those front lines where white people are the managers around the back. Do you know what I mean? You know, so this is the kind of thing, you know, or we're working in a sales assistants and this, you know, this kind of stuff, you know. So there's big issues around that.
Mm. We talked about that, the essential, some things stay the same worldwide. Brazil, London, Kansas City, have the niggers out front, any virus or what have you. You catch it, have the white people, you can be at home, do some video conferencing, telecommuting, all that, safely.
And that's the truth.
The protests that have been going on, I know they have been acting a fool in London. They even pulled down some statues of some white slave traders and threw them in the ocean and all the rest of it. Have you been out yelling in the streets with the protesters?
Right, okay. So we've had big... heated discussions about this amongst one or two of my friends. Now Neely Fuller told a brilliant story years ago. It's, you know, you could listen to it on YouTube, and I've heard it on the cows as well. Right? He told, and I'm sure you're going to remember, Gus. He told a story about when him and his white friends were at, I don't know, protesting in the '60s, doing something or other at I don't know, some hippie. I can't remember the detail of the story, but the gist was he had a load of hippie friends, or some hippie friends, or some white friends that were, you know, right on Power to the People and all the rest of it in the 60s. Right, you know, hate Ashbury, you know, in the San Francisco flower power, blah blah blah, Glastonbury, you know, free sex, get your clothes off and go and, you know, fight the man, blah blah blah, and all the rest of it. Right, years later, in the 70s, Neely Fuller says that he met up with one, you know, bumped into one of his white friends, who said, "God, Neely, how are you doing? We had a laugh back then, didn't we? We had fun, you know, power to the, yeah, God, you know, those days were great. Anyway, I'm going back to my, I've got to get back. I'm on lunch. My, you know, I work for my dad's company now. Yeah, I work for my dad's law firm. Yeah, you know. So anyway, Neely, it was good seeing you. Bye." Right. So that is the, you know, history repeats itself, right? We've got a load of trendy, do-goody, crusty, hip, you know, colleges out, schools out, universities out. We've got a lot of sort of right on white people now, basically just doing the same thing as what was done, what their granddads did in the 70s. The problem is, right, roll on to the 70s, in the 60s, sorry. Problem is, roll on to the 70s and the 80s, it's just business as usual, right? So, pulling down a few statues, right, and, you know, white people running around going bonkers and all the rest of it, right? My view, and what I've said to people, and what some certain people didn't like, is that in 5-10 years' time, it's going to be business as usual. The system does not care if you pull down a few statues. It makes absolutely no difference. That is one thing, right? The other thing for me is this. I wondered why so many people were supporting so many black people, right? I saw a message, a YouTube message that someone sent to me, right? And he asked me my opinion of it. And it was an African-American female. She was cussing a lot, and I don't condone the swearing, right? But she was going through the Black Lives Matter website. I recommend every black person, every African, read the website, because what you'll find is that a lot of black people actually have not read the website. And it was only when she was, I mean, I heard about all this about 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, right? But I didn't check the website, because after the, you know, one or two deaths in America, it sort of, I didn't hear much from Black Lives Matter again until now, right? But this African-American female was, she went through the website, and she basically pointed out the anti-man nature of what's in the web, what's on the website, not the aims and objectives. There's another bit that you've got to read, and it basically, because as you know, it started by free lesbians, right? So it's the whole thing about trying to take men out of the family and trying to demonize men. There's this ridiculous term going around in England called toxic masculinity. God knows where that came from, right? So it's a view of males, right? Now, my guess is that you've got a lot of white people that are totally happy with what's written on that website. My guess also is that in the not-too-distant future, as well as pushing the whole Black Lives Matter thing, they're going to be pushing a whole load of other lives that matter as well, okay? And don't get me wrong. I do think gay lives matter. I think all lives matter. But the point I'm making is all of those things are going to be equal, are equal in their eyes. So in a year's time, gay lives matter. Gay black lives matter. You know, in other words, confusion, let's just mix it all up, right? And that is the agenda that I believe a lot of white people are actually championing and getting behind. I actually think, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, just say you're wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong, right? I think more white people have read the Black Lives Matter website than black people. So I think more white people have read it than black people. That's the, you know, and this is not to say, and what I think has been very clever, so I've got to get this off my chest. You see, I don't think you're going to meet any African or black person that thinks black lives don't matter. It's a very obvious slogan. So I think it's a brilliant slogan, right? Because it's a slogan that people naturally are going to want to chant without actually reading the organisation that they're standing behind. Why would so many white people, so many, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure you've got some well-meaning white people that would die for a black African. I'm sure you have. I've never met one, but I'm sure you've got some, right? So I'm not going to doubt that some really great white people do not exist. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm talking about the mass of white people and the mass of television coverage and the mass of newspaper coverage. That, for me, I personally have never seen it. I have never read about it in history, ever, right? So I'm guessing a lot of those white people have read that website and are standing behind, right, the very liberal agenda, right? And really, what it is, it's a destabilization of the African black family. That's just my view. African black family, right? And I think it's dangerous. We know our lives matter, right? That is not the question, right? But I think, and I know I'm a lone voice, and I'm happy to be a lone voice, right? But I think what we really need to do is differentiate between the organisation Black Lives Matter and just the slogan Black Lives Matter. We know our lives matter, and I'm not saying people shouldn't chant it, right? I think African Lives Matter would be better. I'd love to see white people chant African Lives Matter. I would love to see that. I would love. I don't think you'll ever hear it, right? So that is the, you know, I don't think white people would plaster Black Lives Matter everywhere if they weren't fully in agreement and cognizant, right, of the agenda exhibited that they have read, I believe, on that website. And that is the, we know it, the fact that our lives matter is not the question, right? But I am not convinced that so many white people wouldn't go around chanting, chucking up the power sign and pulling down the statue, pulling down statues and all that rest of stuff, if it was a fully pan-African website that said Africa for Africans, home and abroad, right? Or anything like that. I doubt that. I just doubt it.
30 seconds.
I don't know what you guys think, but I doubt it. Sorry. I know I've gone on a bit, but that's been... that's been interesting discussions amongst me and my friends over the last few weeks.
Well, VGQ, Victims Guarantee Qualified. I do doubt that there are or is even one well-meaning white person who is willing to die to save a black person, because I have not met such a person. And so many black people die all over the world. They would have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of opportunities to intervene on their behalf, and they've not done so. So I am very suspicious that such a person does not exist. But I could be wrong. But I am going to make a sound clip of Andrew saying "All Lives Matter." Like, that is going to be awesome. We can have that in our little archives. So just play it back. All lives matter. All lives matter. Be like, wait a minute, he took that out of context. Like, nope, he said it. He said it. That's his voice. Anywho, so I think we have talked about that website before. I do want to get our callers in. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. So glad that your mom is doing well. Excellent decision not getting her to the hospital. We talked about that here in the States, like that same thing. Some things do not change, that can be a death sentence, especially for black people. You got the Coon Man, I'm sure, in the UK or Norway or wherever else. You want to try to stay out of the hospital if you can. That's why, you know, self-care is super important. So excellent decision there. And we have talked about that website. It was way back when, I think, all this came around the first time, when they were protesting in 2014, 2015, and the Black Miss Andrew. I think a lot of folks have noted that. We already talked about the infiltration, which you said, and the confusion that is happening worldwide. We started off, I don't think you were quite on the air yet, but African 1884 in Austria was saying that exactly, that had somehow morphed from Black Lives Matter to Black Gay Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter, and the same thing here in the States. Exactly. Very predictable. Let's see. Person that dialed in, 9401, did you have a question for our group of folks from around the world?
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question, and I have commentary. I have a question for Andrew. My question is, do they have GCE in England?
Do they have GCE? Not anymore. No. Yeah. GCE, if my memory serves me correct, was A level standard. GCE.
Okay.
Yeah, that was A level standard. I think GCE disappeared a while ago. I mean, it's the same level of qualification, but you know, these things, you know, the government changes these things every few years to try and close the doors a little bit to people that are passing, basically. So GCE's disappeared in favour of the current crop of what we call A-levels now. So we got, you know, we call them A-levels now, but it's the same thing. GCE's are modern-day A-levels.
Did they have something called O-levels in England or no?
Yes, and O-levels, people did O-levels before they did GCEs. So O-levels disappeared around about 1984. I left secondary school, I left what we call secondary school in 1985. I was the first year that did GCSEs. The year before me did O levels. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Because I know that the English system is very similar to the Jamaican educational system. Because we have GCEs in Jamaica also. We had A levels and we have O levels and stuff like that. So my commentary was about how Jamaica responded to coronavirus. Then Jamaica had one case. They closed all schools. And right now in Jamaica, they opened up the schools so that they could do what they called CXC. I think that's a term right now. I'm not sure because I left school a while now. And so they had a month to prepare for the examinations. And the examinations in Jamaica, the CXC it involves the Caribbean. And I think it's a pair from countries that do CXC. So I just want to share that information about, you know, Jamaica and that school has opened up and stuff. And it opened up like probably like maybe I think around like 2 or 3 weeks now. And that's it.
Right.
Thank you.
But one thing about that, what we say in the UK, we're sitting here wishing all our elderly folk were back home in Jamaica. Seriously, I'm not kidding. You know, we're actually saying, God, we wish they were our elderly were back home, because I mean, I've got my great aunt is in Jamaica, you know, and you know, they're able to go out, you know, they're able to live, you know. So there you go.
Much obliged. That stark contrast, the Caribbean and other parts of the world. Man, even Austria, here in our, you know, first caller, African 1884, and how well they have done on handling things out and about. A caller in China as well, out and about, things are back to normal. Let's see, caller, retired firefighter in Florida, if you had a question for our international participants.
Yes, sir. Greetings to the world of non-white victims of racism, white supremacy. My question is, I would like to ask, in your place, has the racist implemented an appeasement program? This is how I identify it. Appeasement program in your areas, pretending interest in white racist activity and the destruction of the global system of white supremacy. I'm trying to measure. I'm taking a scientific experiment of attempting to measure racist codification. And in this part of the world, they have implemented an appeasement program with slogans, you know, I can't breathe, Black Lives Matter. They're writing it in the streets with on the television. They've put in movies on the subject matter, as well as documentaries in this part of the world. But as far as any implementation of anything that is tangible, that has not happened, and I don't expect it to happen. It's something similar taking place where you reside. That's my question.
So if folks understand, I guess everybody can give kind of a quick little response. If we want to start, Kamau in Norway. Make sure I'm not confused. Kamau in Norway. So have, if you understood his question, have they implemented some sort of appeasement program in response to all of the protests and what have you about white supremacy racism?
No, not at all. Like I said before, the Prime Minister said that the reason George Floyd got killed was because blacks commit more crimes statistically. There's pushback on that. And so far, the organizers of the march have submitted a demand to the Minister of Education that the receipts are given to people when they're stopped by the police. And this is not a new demand. So we'll see if actually anything comes from that. Also, the lecturer who spoke earlier, that other lecturer that I was attending, he said that 10 years ago, there was another tens of thousands of people protesting against someone being killed by the police. And there was no legislation at all that could be found to be tied towards that. And as I also said, a year ago, they tried to remove the racism paragraph. So they're not trying to appease anybody over here in Norway. They got 95% white, and they've got Facebook groups where they share jokes.
No appeasement in Norway. Let's see.
Okay.
How about African 1884 in Austria? Now, he said they had, if I remember correctly, I think he said 60,000 people were out protesting at these, you know, different events and such. So do they have, if you understood his question, any appeasement measures in Austria?
Can I be heard?
Crystal clear.
Yes. So, responding to this question, what they did was that after they looked at these numbers, 60,000 people on the streets demonstrating, they constantly put that out in the media, in all the newspaper, and a group of white folks from the government got together, and they said that they need to sit down and look at how they can address some of these issues, this past race soldier experiences with black people in Austria. Interesting enough is that the organizers of the demonstrations, black people, were not invited by the state to start to kick off these discussions regarding police reform. So what happened is that the organizers now got together to sit down and formulate some demands. But I just want to make one thing clear, is that I don't think, you know, what we understand as systemic racism, global systemic racism, white supremacy, a lot of the black folks here don't understand that, and they don't speak in those terms, let alone white folks. Because white folks, maybe they do know that that system is in place, it does function, and they're benefiting from it directly or indirectly, and they're not willing to do anything about it, you know. But the black folks here, they don't address, they're not coded enough to address it as it's supposed to be addressed. You know, so even if there's anything that's going to be done by the government and the people organize the demonstration, I don't think it's really going to go and touch the core of the whole system, because white folks need to stop being white if you're to go that route, if you're to replace systemic racism and white supremacy with justice. You know, so whatever happens going forward, I'm very pessimistic, sorry to say that, because, again, as a student of Mr. Fuller, I clearly understand and know what he talks about and what most of the folks on this show right now understand as systemic, global systemic racism and supremacy. We are very far from that here in Austria. Thank you.
We are very far from that worldwide, unfortunately. That is the enormity of the problem, but it's always good to point that out. Let's see. Andrew in the UK. So if you understood retired firefighters' question, appeasement program in the UK. Well, I guess they took down a statue, so that might count as one.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah, I would say there's an extensive appeasement program, and it ranges from TV programming. That's, you know, because over the last 3 weeks especially, there's been TV and films with a lot of black people in,
mm-hmm.
right? So, mm-hmm. but some of it's been dodgy. So, for example, and I don't know who wrote it, but there was one with, you know, now bearing in mind you hardly ever get black people on TV, right? There was this one that was on two or three nights ago, and it had three black men, three black gay men, having a threesome, a sex threesome on TV, in the program, and the black female was having sex with an Asian guy, and the Asian guy, she asked him to wear a condom, and he didn't bother, and he just basically just came in her, and that was, and then she acted a little bit bothered, but not that bothered, and that was the program. And I actually think I might be wrong, but I know she writes as well. I actually think she wrote it. She was in a Star Trek movie, an American, you know, like Star Trek film, British. I mean, she's quite funny. She's a, you know, she's quite funny. She did something before. Can't remember what her name is. So there was, and I just thought. So this is what they think we want, right? You know, but there's been, you know, there's been some good bits. There's been some good programs as well, you know. But I just think so. To me, that is some kind of appeasement going on there. As was said as well, there's been little logos, little banners. Black Lives Matter this, Black Lives Matter that, you know. There's been loads of stuff. Well, not loads of. There's been some stuff on George Floyd. You know, just various, not all new programs. Some of them old, some of them new, and this kind of thing. So I would say, yeah, there's been a lot of appeasement, left, right, and centre. You know, so yeah.
Interesting.
Context of white supremacy. We have about 5-10 minutes left before we are all done. If you would like to get a question in for our international participants, do not wait till the last minute. Go ahead and get a hand up. The number is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943#. Press *61 if you would like to join us. See you, Henry, in Chicago. I did want to say really quick, just because toxic masculinity was mentioned, Tommy Curry writes about that in The Man Not, in my top 10, mentioned that quite a bit over the past month, and how that term specifically came to be applied to black males. And also, just, man, our timing has been sparkling this year. Unless there's no Rona, we have been spectacular, I think, unless there's no Rona. But I was preparing for tomorrow's broadcast with Dr. Kevorkian, and one of the films we're going to watch or talk about is The Hate U Give. Now, we read that book on our book club, formerly the worst book ever. In fact, Stacy over in the UK said that they ended up talking about that flipping book on her job. I don't even know why. She doesn't do anything with literature. Like, what in the world? Anyway, in the movie, okay, They have a scene where the black attorney, black female attorney, comes out. She's going to represent the black female child who is the lead character in the book and film who witnesses her black male friend be killed by the police. That's why this is being talked about a lot now. So her black attorney, black female attorney, comes out to give this speech. And in the movie, it's Issa Rae. And I said, oh, wow. She does the series on HBO Insecure that was based on the web series Awkward Black Girl, but her one of her more recent seasons of that series, Insecure, they made a big to-do that their main focus for that season was going to be toxic black masculinity. It wasn't even as broad as toxic masculinity. It was toxic black masculinity specifically. And I just thought, wow, that's so interesting for someone to do a whole season on toxic black males, and then you are the attorney to come in a case where a black male has been shot and killed. In a book.
I mean, Gus, I got to say, that is a serious area, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that weaponized. I call it weaponized words, right? There's going to be a lot more weaponized words. Directed at black men.
Toxic black masculinity. Let's see, Henry in Chicago. Did you have a question? Dr. Gerald Horn should be on the cows June 30th, so we can be all excited to call him names if he doesn't know about Einstein on race and racism.
Oh, well, I won't be calling him names. You can do that. Greetings, Gus, and greetings to all the callers, listeners, and all the international guests as well. Question about the effects of the coronavirus on black people in those particular areas of the country that you live in. I know here in the United States, black people here got hit the hardest in regards to infection and deaths. How was it in your respective countries, and in regards to that, and also too, you know, just like in China, where black people, and in some parts here, were black people also getting blamed for spreading it as well, you know, because we were the most infected? And also, are there contingency plans just in case there's another, you know, wave, because we're supposed to be expecting it here in the United States? And that's all I do my line.
Interesting. So that's like three. African 1884, did you want to respond to that one first in Austria?
Yes. Due to the fact that there's a very small population of black people in Austria, we've not really been given this kind of information, and it's very hard to see if there's the disparity in regard to the deaths due to COVID-19. So it's not very clear here, you know, as it would be in the US or in the UK, you know. Yeah.
Not enough. We're not many black people. Let's see. How about Andrew in the UK? Because he was just talking about that. Andrew in the UK.
So is the question, what is the government going to do if there is a second spike for black people? Is that the question? Sorry.
It was three. So that was, it was, I think there was, what is their response if there's a second spike, second wave, or, you know, whatever they call it. That was one. Have you seen any data evidence about disparities with regards to how the virus has impacted black people? So for you in London, and I can answer that. Yes. Cause I've seen that. And then, the other question, was there any blaming of black people? Like, people saying that the virus is, being spread in the UK or London because of black people, because they've been more likely to, the disparities where they've been more likely to have the disease. I think those were the three questions.
I've not seen any blaming. Having said that, someone, I do seem to recall a conversation with someone who, this person is a nurse, and I think this black female was telling me that there was something with an Eastern European person who made some sort of comment towards her about she's the one who's you lot are the ones that spreading it. It was something like that on the tube, it was on the train, something like that. I can't remember, but it was something, some sort of comment this Eastern European person made towards her. I can't remember the detail of that. In terms of the other two questions, I don't know what the exact figures are here, but we've been told that. But and I say we've been told because I this is what the government's put on. This is what I've seen on TV. I've not read any figures coming from African Caribbean or black organisations around this. The figures that the government has put out, what they talk about, or what they have spoken about, is that black people in this country basically have died from it more. You know, this disproportionately. And so for the last month, 5 weeks, there's been a lot of discussion around that. Incidentally, what's happened is that in my school and in another friend of mine's school, she's a primary school teacher, we've had our head teachers ring us up, talking to us about this, saying that we're in the high risk group. If you've got any anxiety around coming in, let us know. This kind of thing. With my friend, they basically, shifted a few things around and all those kind of things. I've got a feeling, I've got a feeling they're doing this with a lot of black teachers. I'm quite fit and healthy, really. So. But I think I've got a feeling it's a borough, boroughs have been told to do this, and you see, because if they don't do it, then effectively you can take the borough to court. Do you know what I mean? Through the union, you could take the borough to court. You did nothing. You didn't talk to me about it. You did nothing. You haven't safeguarded me. I'm going to sue you, Do you get what I mean? So I think it's about... that is my thought about that one. I don't know if hopefully I've answered the question.
Second wave?
What the government's done about... Sorry, say that again, Gus?
Preparation, if there's a spike or a second wave, has the government prepared there a response?
There is no extra preparation for anything. Right, Boris Johnson. At the very beginning of all of this, right? Remember, he didn't take it seriously at the beginning anyway.
Right.
And then the first conversation he said when he was on TV, do you remember what he said? He said the first thing that he said was, "It's not funny, sorry, but he's a laughable guy in a very sad way." First thing he said was, "You lot talking to the British people, you just get ready. You're going to lose a lot of people."
Wow.
That's the first thing he said. So that's the he said it on TV, right? So this, so there is no preparation for any second wave. Remember, right? What he wants to do is get shops, bars, pubs, get the wheels rolling as quick as possible, right? So second wave, there's no preparation. There wasn't preparation for the first wave, really. Do you know what I mean? Everything was too little, too late. Not enough masks. Nothing, right? Do you know what I mean? There's no preparation for anything.
There is
no preparation for anything.
Lots more losses. That's what it sounds like. Got the same plan here, apparently. We missed one person. Let's see. Eton. Last for Kamau in Norway. So do they have plans for a second wave? Are black people being blamed for the spread of the virus and disparities? Have there been any reports about disparities in terms of black people being impacted in Norway, impacted more so by the virus in Norway. Kamal?
Yes. So the, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good. So on the most available newspaper online, vg.no, you can see the numbers at the very top of the newspaper, how many people are infected and how many are in the hospital and how many have died. 8,700 have been infected, 16 are currently in the hospital, and 244 have died overall. Norway is a population with about 5 million people, I believe, something like that. Now, when it comes to black people, in the beginning of the lockdown, there was news that Somalians, which is a large population in the capital, that they were at high risk and they were represented very highly in the numbers. And then someone that I know who's been involved in student politics, she took an initiative to network with other Somalians and create something called a Corona telephone and to raise awareness in the Somalian community. And since she's done that, she's they've halved the infection rates for Somalians in Norway, and now she's been like feted and interviewed by BBC and all kinds of organizations are giving them props for that. But even though they've reduced the rate, there's still high levels of stigmatization towards Somalians is what they're reporting. That people are thinking that they are being, as black people do, spreading disease. So, but the important thing is that they took action and was able to reduce the rate of infection remarkably to the point that they are being interviewed by international news. Yeah, I think that's all I can respond. Any backup plans? I'm pretty sure that there is, right, as we said, like, they're not, as far as education is concerned, people are not expecting to go back to full normal for the rest of the year. So that's the stance there. Shout out to Somalia.
Indeed, indeed. No school for the rest of the year. Wow. They have been talking. It might be end up being like that in the United States as well. They've been, you know, talking about that, and it's still kind of a 50-50 proposition. That's the way they've been talking about it. Did we get all your questions, Henry, in Chicago?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thomas in New York, did you have a question for our international participants?
Good evening to all. Good afternoon, all rather. Two questions. One is, what did you guys get as a stimulus for this whole thing? If you guys got the same amount as white people. And my other question is there a push to defund police in your respective countries or cities?
We asked that question previously about the stimulus. They can correct me, but I don't think anybody, at least no one in the country is here, because I think I asked Andrew before, no one got a stimulus. I think they had little like paycheck protection programs that we talked about before where they would kind of insure your salary, I think like 80% of whatever your salary was. Because Andrew talked about that in detail, that kind of reinforced the same white supremacist structure, because white people make more, so even if you're making sure that people get 80% of their income. But yeah, I don't think anybody got any stimulus. We talked about that, but they can correct me if I'm wrong. Let's see, we'll go Kamau in Norway. Is there any push to defund the police?
No, definitely not in Norway, not when they've invested 4 years in a bachelor degree. I haven't heard anything like that. All we're asking is about make them give receipts when they stop to check people's ID. But I want to answer the guy's question before. There was money given to people who have not been able to work. They're put on the government welfare system. people pay about 33% tax, and it's a bit of like the social democracy thing that Bernie talks about. It's what has been implemented in Norway. All of their oil revenue goes into a big kitty that helps help the population. However, people who have international backgrounds who are working in Norway who don't have citizenship have not gotten access to that. And we had to fight for international students to get a one-off benefit, financial support. But that benefit is one-third of what the Norwegian students have gotten. And, yeah.
And they scoffed about
so, that. Yeah, well, and the school that I am at, the rector is, like, almost deliberately not wanting to. He even changed up the, it was the last board meeting and they had the financial reports, and I could see how he made sure to let it be sure that, you know, okay, we might have saved some money, but we spent a lot of money too, just in case Ethan wants to come with a last minute suggestion to give. Yes, they give 10,000 kronas to like 40 international students. Let's prevent him, but he doesn't know that I've got another plan coming around from the side, from the student leader and the national president. Anyway.
Constantly have those plans. Stay focused. That's how racists operate their system. We have to do the same. Much obliged, Kamau in Norway. Let's see. Andrew in the UK. Say we talked about the stimulus thing before, I think, and then... defund the police? Are they talking about defunding the police in the UK?
I've heard no talk about defunding the police. I mean, just the same usual nonsense about police needing training. You know that kind of thing. You know that kind of nonsense. I think the police have decided to, as best they can, take a hands-off approach to a lot of the protesting, but you know, we've seen the odd image of protesters being manhandled and this kind of thing, but there's been no talk to defund the police that I personally have heard. Sorry, go on, Goss.
Continue.
And around we spoke about the whole stimulus thing. So it's just been 80% of your salary, and then the government has obviously had to bail businesses out, small businesses. So you know, the governments, like all countries, have dug into their coffers and forked out a sum of money to keep small businesses afloat. And you know, the government has forced lenders like banks, if you've got a mortgage or a credit card or a loan. People have been able to apply for a 3 month or 6 month now payment break. So, you know, but nothing specifically for black people. You know, that's just a general thing, you know. But look, I mean, you know, the problem here is if you've got black people that have been on short-term contracts and things like this, companies have just basically just sacked them or just not renewed their contracts. So if you've not had your contract renewed, then you're not eligible for 80%. You know, you're just going to go, you just got to go and collect social benefit. You know, that, to my knowledge, you know, that's different. You know, so what you've got, a lot of people, black people that are on, non-permanent contracts, short-term contracts, or, you know, do supply work or what we call locum in, if you're a GP, if you're a doctor. We exist, a lot of our people exist in that type of employment, and there's not the safety nets for that necessarily, and that's the real issue for us.
Right on, Andrew in the UK. Let's see, African 1884 in Austria. Are they talking about defunding the police out there? And did you all get a one-time stimulus payment? Oh, not hearing. Hope we didn't lose him, or mute button issue. Hopefully not. Are you there? African 1884, are you with us? I'll double check to see if we lost him. Get our last response on Thomas in New York's question about the stimulus, because I do not remember. I'm not sure if he was here when we asked that question before, so I don't know. Maybe they got a stimulus.
Gus, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Now. Good job.
Sorry, because I'm running on Mac, and sometimes it just keeps hanging. I've got so many pages open. Sorry about that. Yes.
Awesome. The question was, are they talking about defunding the police in Austria? And did you all get a one-time stimulus payment to kind of help get you through the Rona crisis?
Well, it's more or less similar to what Andrew just said in the, like, what's happening in the UK. The whole stimulus package is targeted towards small businesses, but not specifically towards black people as beneficiaries. And again, just to reiterate, the very few businesses out here that are black owned and black managed. So I don't really have much more information in regard to that. Defunding the police, that's out of the question. No one is saying anything about that. One thing that they're trying to do, I had them speak about, is provide some cultural sensitivity training to the police. I don't know what that really means. And that's all they're talking about, but not defunding the police. Yeah, thank you.
No surprise there. Not talking about that nonsense anywhere else in the world. I don't even think they're talking about that in Canada, and that's, you know, right in the backyard. And nope, not that I think they're going to do that in too many places in the U.S. either, regardless of the rhetoric for right now. And no stimulus package. That's what I thought. They didn't do any sort of one-time payment to anybody. I'm not aware of anywhere else in the world. I have to double check to see, but at least not with any of the folks that we've talked to. They didn't do any payment. They might have done some things for your paycheck, your weekly wages, like securing those, what we heard. But yeah, no free money from the government just to kind of help get you through all of this. I think we got all of our callers, at least the folks that I saw. And this is our shorter broadcast that we do monthly, just because I think there's a extreme value in being able to check in with victims of white supremacy around the globe, try to make sense of everything that is happening. We have yet to speak with anyone who doesn't think the Rona exists. Yet to find a country where they don't think the Rona. Yes, sir.
Has anyone in the States had heard a conversation on TV about reparations?
Heard a conversation on what TV?
Has anyone in the States heard any white people talking about reparations for Africans and for slavery and all the rest of that stuff? I've heard one conversation on, I can't remember if it was CNN, I think it was UK TV, where some white people had a conversation about paying back black people, reparations for slavery. But I've only heard one. I'm just wondering if that is a conversation white people are having, or if that's some sort of debate at the moment in America.
I haven't heard it like this week, but they talk about it pretty often during election season, like on pretty mainstream media outlets. They talked about it a lot in 2016, and Bernie Sanders, and I think some of the other candidates were talking about. President Obama got involved in it. They brought it up again more recently. It's election year. They brought it up again more recently. I have not heard it as much within this context, because it's been I Can't Breathe and all the rest of it, but it's pretty common. For it to be like election season, they'll ask some of the major candidates to give their view. I know some of the candidates this year were talking about it, and it was coming up in some of the debates, the Democratic debates and what have you. So I've seen, quite a bit. I think some of the other folks that are here can probably vouch for that.
Okay.
Gus?
That's 1884.
Yes, I just wanted to get the people's take regarding, because we've talked about the statues being brought down. In Austria, that's not happened yet. But one thing that's happening in Austria is, I also saw this in the US where they had the Auntie Jemima being taken off the shelves and Uncle Ben and everything. And we have here in Austria also a beer where they have the head of a Moor, a black person. And there was there's been an ongoing protest from black people here to remove that image. And right now we just got information that this beer company is looking into rebranding and removing that head of the Moor on their beer. So I know how it is like in the UK regarding or in Norway regarding foodstuffs and not just the statues. Thank you.
Mm. Are they doing that with food items, foodstuffs in Norway and London? Kamau in Norway, are they? I don't know if you all have any food items that, you know, chocolate bars or beverages that have black people on them. Are they doing anything like that? Oh, are you there, Kamau? Are you there?
Everybody's still in Norway. There's a large selection of chocolates on every supermarket, gas station. There's a large selection of chocolates. You're not going to get between them and that. And they always drink coffee. Now, I'm serious. You don't know chocolate until you've seen a significant selection. And they got the dark chocolate, too.
With black people on it, though? The chocolate with black people?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, but they just have all of their American chocolates. They got chocolates that they make themselves, but nothing with the Aunt Jemima. They haven't, the activists here are working on getting people to admit that there's racism here. The white people here are saying that they're importing an argument from America with this demonstration, completely forgetting the deaths and the complaints and the books and articles that have been written by people, by non-white people in Norway. So they've got like a really good ability to forget.
Huh. Very.
The academic, the newspaper that covers the education environment is like me. Apparently, there were some academics that were going on strike or trying to protest against racism and so on. And there have been like, I don't know, one prominent student organization that works with internationalization outside of Norway, an NGO work. They've in the past couple of years have talked about decolonizing the academia. And then you've had some pushback against that, you know, why some white professor would say, why do we need to remove these white people from the required reading list and so on and so on. Hmm. But those I haven't seen anything from those organizations right now during the George Floyd protests. Everybody's quiet. I think they're preparing for the summer vacation.
Got
it. That whole intention about decolonization, they may not care to make the connection with that and racism. And I just want to state that I remember seeing that this same organization had there was like some big annual parade or so, and they had a black trans woman, a man that dresses that believes that they're a woman, trans woman. Black trans woman was at the forefront of their parade, this same organization that talks about decolonization of academia.
The conflation.
So I tend to think that there seems to be a bit of that seems to be a nice a planned move right there. It looks like the version of civil rights where you conflated it with feminism. And then a lot of benefits came for the fem, but it seems to be like the same move that's happening here. And
hang
I do
on
notice.
One second. Andrew's comment on this one as well. Just give me one second, and I'll make sure we get your last point. Andrew, are they doing anything with the food products in the UK in terms of? I don't know if y'all have any chocolates with black people on them or beverages. Are they doing that over there?
That's an interesting question. And I love the whole thing about Jemima and all of that. That is a good question. What is happening here? Yes, not so much specifically with food, but what I've noticed, there seems to be a cull, I'm going to use the word cull, of a lot of, no, not a lot, that's not fair to say, of some, what white people think are racist things. So, you know, I mean, I've not seen any food products per se. I mean, we have the same sort of things here, so you know, but there's one comedian called I can't remember what his first name is, but his surname is Lemon, and he used to do something, a program called Bowl Selector, right? So basically, he used to take the mickey out of not only black people like Michael Jackson, another character, you know, what's the name from the Spice Girls, but white people too. I've noticed that last week or the week before, a lot of white people thought highlighted his depiction of Craig David and Michael Jackson as being racist. Now, no, I don't think any black people had an issue with it, but what I'm realizing is that a lot of white people are now seem to be telling other white people what is racist, right? So this cull is a lot of white people, you know, basically becoming very right on. I don't think they're actually asking black people for our opinion. I think they're just going around going a bit crazy, just calling other white people racist. You know, so that's my take on it. But yes, it is happening. I can't finger where that's the only example I can give. But yes, it is happening. Yeah.
Okay. It's the Morin. If people want to check it out, it seems to be the brand that they're talking about in Austria, Mohren, where they have this silhouette of a black person on the beer. I think that might be the brand that they're talking about. But it's lots of these, like Delectable Negro, where they have chocolates and peanuts and all kinds of little items, confections, cookies, nigger toes, and all of this stuff is rife throughout the system of white supremacy. There have been a number. They have the little black man cookies that they have in different parts of Europe. Like, it's tons of this stuff, tons and tons. It would take forever to try to get rid of all this stuff.
It doesn't matter if they do. It's just a refining of the system. That's all that's going on. You get rid of every trace of the system, but it's still there.
Absolutely. I don't know how they... Oh, yeah, no problem. I don't know how they would get rid of it all because there's so much, but at least looking like you're trying to minimize it. Yes, absolutely, and it's still there. Let's see. African 1884, was that you as well?
Yes, I mean, I remember when I saw the report in the newspaper regarding Auntie Jemima and Uncle Ben, and now this local beer manufacturer is also rebranding their product. I went out and told black people to go buy that as memorabilia. 10 years from now, you can be able to tell the youth that, you know, this is what was going on as evidence of systemic racism, white supremacy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Keep it as a reminder. This is what we are dealing with. Commonplace. And they have, like I said, it's fascinating. Keep that in. Delectable Negro. You sit around and say these people are dumb and ignorant and stupid and should be mistreated and raped and pillaged and all the rest. And you go and name your favorite food products after the very same dark people. What? And then they call us cannibals. Let's see. Kamau in Norway, did you want to finish your thoughts, sir, before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I remember that there is something that translates into nigger titties. It's like chocolate covered puff of marshmallow stuff, and the translation is it looks like breasts, look like female breasts, but that's there. And I'm pretty sure that there's some other chocolates that look like people. But I never, because I don't really, I'm not all that into chocolate, so I didn't notice it. But And one thing I would like to notice, I noticed that people are talking about systemic racism, but they talk about racism being a system. I'm seeing a little bit more of that around the web and everywhere. And I hear them saying that instead of system of racism, white supremacy. And I think there's a very good reason to use system of racism or system of white supremacy. So if you talk about systemic racism, it sounds as if you're speaking about a feature in a social system, that a feature of our social system is that there's racism systemically in parts of it. But if you say system of racism, white supremacy, you're seeing that the entire social system is based on race. So I just noticed that that weakening of the terminology to describe the problem from system of racism, white supremacy, to systemic racism. And it just reinforces the idea that how words are important. Thank you.
Yes, they are super important. Wow. Great point. I don't really use systemic racism.
Great point.
I'm sure I've said, retired firefighter. I'm sure I've said it a few times, but it is pretty consistent. System of white supremacy. System of racism. Or I'll, do the hyphen. But, yeah. Because that is the totality. It is not a little component or what have you. That is the whole ball of wax, as they say. Does anybody have any last comment they need to get in? 30 seconds or less. We wrap up. It's supposed to be our shorter broadcast.
Yeah, I just had a quick question for the gentleman in the UK. I saw on a report where there was a white supremacist rally in the UK because they were mad at statues being thrown in the water and everything. And afterwards, the black youth started beating up the white supremacists. And I just wanted to know, was that reported in the news there?
See, Andrew in the UK, are you with us, sir?
Yeah, so could you repeat that? You cut out for a bit.
Oh, sure. I saw a report where there was a protest in the UK, a white supremacist rally in response to the protest, and the white supremacists, after the rally, they were getting beat up by the black protesters, and I just want to know if that made the news there.
Quite funny. So what happened? Obviously, you had a lot of, people that call themselves Black Lives Matter supporters and a load of other normal black people, basically, and white people just, marching around the streets and so on and so on and so forth. And then later on, you had a load of right-wing white people. I can't remember if they were EDL, that's English Defence League. Basically, they were just a load of football supporters, because there's no football at the moment, so most football supporters are just white racists, right? So these guys can't drink, they got nothing to do, they're just bored, so they decided to go and protect the statues, right? And what they, I don't think what they didn't count on was basically just meeting up with a load of black guys that are just bigger, stronger, and not scared of them. So a lot of them basically just got beat up, some of them just got a kick in the head. So that's probably what you saw on the news. The funny thing here is that I watched a lot of TV, as we all are, over this time, just to see what's happening. I didn't see a lot of live pictures of a lot of these white racists getting kicked up. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. The only picture that they put in the paper was one picture of one black guy carrying one of these white racists to safety. So there's this one black guy, and the funny thing is, I think I know the black guy as well. He comes from my bit of southwest London, right? I'm pretty sure I know him, but I haven't seen him for years, but I recognise the face. So there's a picture on all the main newspapers of this one black guy carrying this racist to safety, who was getting, he said, kicked in by some black people, by some black guys, right? So they interviewed this black guy on breakfast TV, And basically, what they're doing, they're upholding him as an example of what all of us black guys should be doing. So these white racists are coming out, basically doing what they do, which is to basically intimidate black people, right? And we've got to carry them to safety when they're in trouble. Think about it. That's the same as black people hugging white people and forgiving them when they go and shoot us, when they go and shoot you guys in the States. It's ridiculous. You know, the only sad thing I'm sad about is that he picked him up and carried him to safety. He should have kicked his head in. He should have stamped on his head. Picking up a racist. That's a joke.
I'm sorry, UK, but did you get the news that this guy he picked up was a police officer who had gotten into this crowd? This guy was a police officer he picked up.
That might make it a little bit different. Go ahead, Kamal. Go ahead. You said this guy was...
This guy was a retired police officer that was on his free time was supporting this white supremacist group. Retired police officer, probably beat up a few black people in his past. You got to follow the story a little bit further and catch the news on this guy. I think it just came out today or yesterday.
Wow.
Okay.
We'll post the link so people can get any extra detail. Let's see. Yeah, we did extra. We did extra time. It's only supposed to be 90 minutes, and we did extra time. Let's see. African 1884, did you have a last comment you wanted to get in, sir, before we sign out?
Yeah, thank you, Gus. Thank you for the show. All I got to say is that let's stay coded. Let's stay focused. And between now and the time... coronavirus, COVID-19, and the whole Black Lives Matter thing, there's going to be a lot of changes that will end up, again, just like Andrew said, just refining the system, you know, so let's still stay coded. Thanks.
On Daily Mail, it says it's revealed that the Millwall supported...
Are you still there? Come out. We heard you, and then you went out. You said, well supported, and then it disappeared. Your audio disappeared. Not hearing you. Uh-oh. I'm not sure. Looks like you're still there. Are you there? Come out in Norway. Are you there? Can you hear us? Looks like you're still there. I'm not sure. We are not hearing you. Got to support it, and then it went out. They must not have wanted you to share that report. I'll double-check while we'll double-check. Did you have a final word that you wanted to get in before we sign out, Andrew?
That's all. I'm fine. Yeah, it's great. It's been a good show. Brilliant. Excellent.
Glad we could have you on. Again, glad your mom is safe. Hope she continues to do well. Take it serious. That's what I've been saying. Take it serious. Like, you know, until we have a lot more information, take things seriously and try to stay as safe as possible. Are you there with us, Kamal? We were hearing you, and then your audio disappeared. Ah. I don't know what happened. And it looks like he's still on the line here. I don't know if it's a tech issue or something. We got right there. I'll get the article. Must mean that report is important. So I think he said it was on Daily Mail. I heard that part. And this report about this fracas that happened over in the UK. And apparently it's a retired officer. So I'll do some digging and I'll post the link so we can check it out in our leisure. We will be here tomorrow. Dr. Martin Kevorkian will be on the program 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. This is Central. What is that? 7 p.m. Central Time, Monday. June 22nd. Again, the films we will discuss, The Hate U Give, Terminator, Dark Fate, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, Black Mirror, Season 5, Episode 1, Striking Vipers. That's the only episode that we're going to talk about. These films are selected specifically based on what's happening right now. They're probably talking about The Hate U Give right today. And we'll probably make a moment to bring that up about the moment where the attorney who's speaking out, cast as Issa Rae, who's devoted a lot of time to talking about black male toxicity. Lots of interesting casting decisions in that film, The Hate U Give. But we'll talk about all that tomorrow. Dr. Martin Kevorkian, admitted white supremacist. Much obliged to all of our international participants. I don't know how we lost Kamau right at the finish line. Just right there. And I don't know, but we will hopefully have him back. He was just with us for workplace racism, so hopefully we'll have him back. And I will share the report that he was attempting to inform us about. Much obliged for everyone's time and energy. Hope it was worthwhile for your Sunday. Value your time and energy. Racists do a lot to waste our time on a regular basis. We need all of our resources to solve the problem. Sobriety would be best. We don't need beer with black pictures on it, any other photos on it. We need our brain computer working at maximum efficiency so that we can come up with new concepts, permanent solutions to the problem. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up. Again, I don't know about other places of the world. I know I can speak for the U.S. specifically. It is a dangerous time. You have a lot of armed whites. It seems like they don't have quite the proliferation of armed white people in other parts of the world. That changes things substantially. The COVID situation would be a lot anyway, but having armed white people out in the streets all over, not just in one region, and they're out in the streets for lots of reasons. I'm armed and out because I'm mad about the Rona restrictions. I'm armed because I'm upset about the looters. I'm armed because I want to protect the I'm armed because they want to defund the police. None of that bodes well for black people. Dr. Welsing calls it the great equalizer. Man, there are a lot of equalizers in the U.S. right now. That alone is a reason to be very cautious when you go out. We are not looking for confrontations. You're not having any sort of skirmishes and verbal jousting with white people, even yelling from the vehicle. None of that. Keep that in mind. The white person that you're talking to could be armed. Take it seriously. If you have to go out, be strategic and be very alert. If you're doing any talk, I got the report. Much obliged. I couldn't get his audio, but he was able to text me the report, so I will share it promptly. But if you're out and about, if anything looks like a white person is looking at you in a hostile manner, saying something to you, aggressive, no engagement. You have no idea if they got a whole mob with them, a whole mob of armed whites who have trained and prepared to kill black people. You have no idea. If you did not plan this scenario, I am out of here right now. It is not a good time to be taking risks, and it is very, very dangerous. I know, especially in the U.S., very dangerous. You got a lot of armed white people. If you are going to go out, as I said, you are sober, you're buckled, you're super vigilant. If you're driving, you are not on the cell phone, doing all we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it, Creator. We ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy, no name calling. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.